Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17 and verse 17. And I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. And then after I pray, I'm going to read Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Proverbs 17, 17. A friend loves at all times. I'll read that again. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your love. Dear God, when we think about how great and powerful and mighty your love is, there is nothing that compares with you, Father. We thank you that your love goes beyond what our minds can even think or comprehend, that your love sent Jesus to this earth to become a man and to give his life on Calvary's cross. That is what we call a true friend. And Father, I pray that God, each and every one of us will have love at all times, that we will get it settled in our hearts that you are love, dear God, and you are good, and we should pattern our lives after you, Father, and after your holy commandments and your word. So, Father, change us today, and Father, make us to be what you want us to be, Lord, and we give ourselves to you a living sacrifice. And Lord, we just ask and pray now as I preach this message that God, you will speak through me. Let every word come from you, Father. Nothing from my thoughts or my flesh. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Now I'm going to flip on over to Mark chapter 2. So if you want to flip over to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, I'm going to read that scripture as well. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, and so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Now I read to you in Proverbs 17, 17, that a friend is love. Somebody who's truly committed as your friend, they love at all times, which means a friend that loves at all times, they don't think about what they need. They don't think about their life. These are the kind of people that have the love of God inside of their heart, and God has placed them in the world where they need to be, and God has given each and every one of us a what you would call a mission field to go out and serve in. And so the first thing that we need to observe today is that, like I said, God is love. The Bible says God is love, and in Him there is no darkness. And the Bible even says that Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than any brother, which means Jesus loves you with such an infinite, perfect love, a love that cannot be described with words. You could get the top scholar of a college, and the top scholar of a college, he could not even break down and define the kind of love that the Lord has for us. But one thing that we need in our world today is we need love and we need friendship. Love and friendship are two things that go hand in hand, and they are necessary to build the network of people within our churches and outside in our communities. How would you evaluate yourself as a friend today? How would you evaluate yourself? What would other people that you know say about you? What kind of a friend would they describe you as? I wondered, how many of you, when you were young, how many of you ever stood out in the hot sun, the sun beating down on you, and you're thirsty after playing the harp, and you watched a good friend of yours finish off a cold bottle of Coca-Cola and then never even gave you a drink? I wouldn't call that much of a friend. Or how many of you ever had a friend, had a swimming pool, and on a hot day they never even invited you over to jump in the cold water to get some kind of relief? Those, I don't call those much of a... But hey, all of us have been there. But what I want to share with you this morning is out of the Scripture in Mark chapter 2, I want to look at three things this morning. And the first being the healing of the paralytic and the friends that he had. In the story, we find three people. We find the helpless one, who was the paralytic, the helping ones, who were the four friends, and then the healing one, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The helpless one, he was a man who was sick with palsy, and he had been sick for some time, completely paralyzed. The man couldn't even move. He had to depend upon people to come and meet his needs. He had no way of using his hands or his arms or his legs. He couldn't bathe himself. He couldn't feed himself. He couldn't even get outside and go for a walk. And the Bible doesn't really tell us, but I'm going to say that maybe he was born with it. I don't know. Maybe something happened some point in his life that left him paralyzed with this palsy. But anyway, as we look at this man's situation, we can know that he was in dire need. And I want you to think for just a moment. How many people do we know around us who are paralyzed with something they've been going through in their life? It might be the death of a loved one. It might be a sickness. It might be financial hard times. It just may be trouble within the family. It may be addictions. It may be struggles within the life of a certain person. But somewhere in the world, we can definitely look around and we can find people who are not as fortunate as we are. And God has placed these people sometimes in our path. And God wants every one of us to get away from what our needs and wants are and look upon the needs and upon the life of the person that's going through the difficult time. And God wants us to minister and love upon them. So we've got the paralyzed man, and all of a sudden, he's got four friends. Now, four friends come along. They know that Jesus is teaching in the house of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. That's almost a tongue twister. But Jesus is teaching. The Bible says there were so many people jammed in there, there wasn't any room for them to get in through the door. They couldn't even get in through a window. The Bible says they got up on top of the house and they completely removed the roof. Now look at this. So here are four friends, and we don't know their names. We don't know where they come from. But all we can see is we can see the example of the love of God at work in their life. They gave up of themselves. They forgot about their own needs, their own problems. They were out to meet the need of a friend. And they brought their friend to Jesus. And the thing I like in this story, I don't like to call it a story, this is actual fact of what happened. So the events that happened, I mean, they took the roof off of Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house. Now, could you imagine if you're in that crowd of people in that house, and all of a sudden, could you imagine Simon Peter's mother-in-law? She's probably wondering, what in the world's going on? Must have got termites in the roof or something. Something's going on, but you know what? I really believe that woman knew in her heart what was going on. I believe that she realized that something heavenly was taking place. And I want to point something out about this woman as well. She was a giving woman. See, she opened up her house. She opened up her house for Jesus to come in. She allowed Jesus to come in there and teach His word to all of those. And the Bible doesn't necessarily state it, but I really wonder and believe, I bet that His mother-in-law, I bet that she served the people. I wonder if she had food and drinks prepared. How many of you ever have people come over to your house, or you host an event somewhere or something at church? How many of you bring something or you get something ready because you want to bless somebody else? You really want to bless somebody else. How many of you get a lot of joy out of cooking food? Yeah, Corrine, she does. I know Janine does. Now, I could tell this past week Janine was really sick and she didn't get to make all the food that she always makes and the desserts. I'm kind of glad we don't have all the desserts, because I'd be going through trials of enduring patience not to eat at all. So she was a little down this week because she is such a servant of the Lord, and she likes to do stuff. She likes to know what things somebody needs, and then she tries to go out and help meet those needs. So Peter's mother-in-law is serving the people and opened up her house, and the Lord's in there teaching, and all of a sudden these four friends are tearing the roof off. And I know that these four men, when they got the paralytic and they brought him to Jesus, they didn't bring him, and they weren't saying, well, maybe the Lord will heal him today. Well, we hope God doesn't get, you know, I hope Jesus don't get mad at us for interrupting what he's teaching. Or, you know, maybe we might see a miracle today. That's not what was in their heart. I know that these four friends had enough love and faith, and they had a drive to get their friend to Jesus, and wasn't nothing going to stop them. You remember a while back when I preached about the woman that had the issue of blood? What did that woman do? That woman pushed through a crowd. And it was her faith and her love. And she said, if I could just reach and touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. These four men, I know, were in agreement in heart. And as they were on their way and taking the roof off of that woman's house, They were saying within themselves, we know Jesus can heal him, and we know Jesus can perform a miracle, and we're bringing our friend because we love him. He's got a need. In this world today, we've got so many people that I wonder sometimes if we've been blinded by the enemy and we're not really seeing the true depth of need that's out in the world today. That's why I'm encouraging us in 2025, don't wait till New Year's Day. Let's start right now. Father, search my heart and know me. If there's anything perverse within me, Lord, if there's something inside of me that's selfish or that's keeping me away from doing your work, then God, get it out of me and change my heart so that I could be a blessing to my neighbor or to my friends. So as they tore the roof off the house, they lower their friend before Jesus. And he was laid up on that mat. And the Bible doesn't say exactly, but you know, back in the days of the Bible, I'm sure that they probably had this fella all tied up in rope on that bed. And then they had that rope. They probably had four ropes coming up out of that roof. And I'll bet all four of those men were on that roof. They were just at one time in unison. They were letting that bed down before the Lord. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you know what? He said, I bet those men were Baptist. He said, those men probably had their friend tied up like Gulliver's Travel. And then when they dropped him before Jesus, he said that guy was just kind of twirling before the Lord, you know, like this. But Jesus probably had to reach up and grab him. And as they lowered their friend down, Jesus eased him on down. See, and here's the thing about Jesus and his love. Jesus didn't get angry that he was interrupted. Jesus didn't bawl them out. He didn't give them a talking to, I'll say that. He didn't take nobody behind the woodshed and straighten out the seat of their britches or nothing like that. Jesus, he took this paralyzed man and with all the love that he had, he poured his love into the heart of that paralyzed man. So I wonder how many of us as Christian people would have not done what we should be doing because we think, well, maybe the Lord doesn't want me to do that. God always wants us to minister and witness to people in need. Sometimes we say, well, I don't have what it takes. If I want to say this too. Whatever you do for the Lord, if you need help with ministering to somebody, whatever any situation is, what's the first thing we always should do? Take it to God first. Because God knows every person's need, and God will supply every resource. God will supply every need according to His riches and glory. God is able to do all things. I've got a thing hanging on the wall. It's just a little, it says, with God, all things are possible. And it hangs up there on the wall. And when I step into that room to do my workout, I've got a little workout bench in there. But when I step in there, that's the first thing I see on that wall. With God, all things are possible. And I am encouraged every day. But I wonder, what is our hearts like? Do we have the kind of heart that these four friends had? Do we have a servant's heart? Are we willing to go the extra mile? Are we willing to give up everything? Are we even willing to give things that we have? Are we willing to give those to people in need? You remember last year, I was blessed with something, and I shared that testimony about how Janine and I prayed with that man at his house because his wife had passed away. And you know what? And Corrine told me after church that day, she said, you know what? The time will come that you'll bless somebody else with that. And you know what? I did. I sure did. And God has blessed in return. I don't ever ask God for certain things. I just say, Lord, I just pray that you'll bless me however you see fit. So, Jesus tells this paralyzed man that his sins are forgiven. So, when you look at that, did Jesus mean that this man had sinned and that caused him to become paralyzed with palsy? Like I said, I don't know how the man got in the condition he was. But Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. Well, then the scribes, you know, they're reasoning within their hearts. They're like, well, who is this guy? He's forgiven, telling this man his sins are forgiven. But only God can do that. See, they were limited in their minds. And Jesus said, why do you reason these things within your heart? Just so that you know that I've got the power to forgive sins, he told the man, take up your bed and go home and walk. Take up your bed and go home. And that's exactly what the paralyzed man did. He came up off that bed. A man who had not been able to use his body was now walking out the door. And I guarantee you, I wonder if he strutted out that door. You know, he's just happy. I don't know. Sometimes my mind comes up with these thoughts, but we don't know. But I know this. God is calling each and every one of us to go after our friends. See, they brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus. Didn't matter the cost. And I found this out too. Peter's mother-in-law, because she opened up her home and let the Lord serve, and she served people however she did. I don't know how she did. But I did find this out. Many years later, archaeologists were digging in the area and they found the house in the location of where Peter's mother-in-law's, that was her house. And they said that house had been built onto. She had been blessed greatly because she gave all that she had for those that were around her. Imagine what God could do with us if we would start giving to all of those around us. If we would start witnessing more, reading our Bibles more, praying more. I mean, I know what this church does for people. I hear about it. Oh, I do. I hear, and I'm surprised when I talk to certain people and they go, well, where do you preach at? Bosque Del Baptist Church. Oh, I know where that church is. It's the little white church up on the hill. Kind of looks like it belongs in a Hallmark movie. And this is what I hear too. Well, that's the church that has the yard sale twice a year. And they have it one weekend, then it's another weekend, and they always got all kinds of stuff. And people tell me, yeah, I heard that money goes for missions work, to bless others. I said, yes. So see, but we shouldn't just stop right there. We should say, Father, I open my heart and my life to you. And God, I want you to work within me in a special way. Empower me. Give me what I need, Lord, to be a better Christian. Give me what I need to be an example in my workplace or at my home or out in the community. Let people know that you are my Lord and my Savior. Let people see Jesus in me. See, who you are at church is who you should be at home. when nobody's looking, when you're all by yourself even. Who you are at church is who you should be at the workplace. Who you are at church should be who you are out in public. There, people shouldn't have two different opinions about us. People should say, oh yes, that Effie Brimmer, she loves Jesus. Oh, she's a great person. I hear that a lot. I do. And then I've heard sometimes, well, the LIPE ladies, they own that orchard and they go there. Yeah, they do. Well, I hear that they do so much good. They do the shoe boxes. Oh, I said, everybody's involved. I said, come to the church sometime. If we would start giving of ourselves, if we would start taking our friends to Jesus, and as we're taking our friends, tell them about Jesus, if we're praying, Father, I know you can heal and save this one. I know you can turn their life around. Then God can work. God is just looking for somebody with a selfless attitude. God is looking for us, people that have an open and a willing heart. God wants us to be an empty vessel so He can fill us with what He wants us to be filled with. And when we live a life like that, oh, the blessings that come. Just like Peter's mother-in-law's house was expanded upon. If we will serve the Lord with a glad heart, if we will love, if we will be that friend to somebody else, to many others, our lives will grow and be blessed, our homes, and I even believe that our church will too. I believe, and I've got it settled in my heart, that we're going to be having Sunday school again. If you look around, well, there's a few empty seats, but you know what? We have to grow here first before these seats can be filled. This guy has to grow more in the Lord in order for the work of the Lord to be accomplished in my life. So, as the new year approaches, are you going to be a friend that loves? Are you going to, when the Lord comes back, or when you get to heaven, you stand before the Lord, what's He going to say to you? See, so many people get wrapped up with the cares, concerns of this world and life, and people watch the news and they listen to all that. And I'm just going to say it. What they have on Fox and CNN, it's trash. It's made up lies and trash. And then people get hooked on it and they don't get into the Word of God. And then some people just live a defeated life. If we would get into this Word and keep that television set off, we get into this Word and start reading the truth, it'll change your life and it'll change your heart. We need to start planting seeds because God is going to bring a bountiful harvest, I believe, to Bosque Dale Baptist Church.